But God shared something with Jennifer that she wrote down, and this is what we were praying, but it was really, that's what she was praying, but I thought it was just so good. I want to ask her to come up and read it, and then we'll get right into the word. Amen.
He's not lying. Yesterday was pretty awesome. But for me, just to kind of tell you, we just don't pray for pastor. We just don't pray for, you know, other things. We pray for you guys. And that's what was laid on my heart yesterday. And he wanted me, which is kind of, I like to write things down when they come to me, but he was like giving me line upon line upon line upon line. So I'm just going to share with you what I was praying for you guys. It just started off, people who know the truth, have heard how much God loves them, have heard they are righteous, have heard they are now a new creature in Christ, and have heard of his marvelous grace, have received and known his forgiveness, and have experienced his glory. Those who have seen his goodness, but yet their hearts are still hardened. They don't want to let go of the things that are a part of darkness. And to kind of, before I go on, for don't ask me why I went to the scripture, but it kind of, I went to the scripture and I believe it was, let me see, I wrote it down. The scripture that just he led me to was, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, and there'll be no healing. I think for me, what was on my heart had a lot to do with some things that Mark and I were, you know, ministering with people this week. And it kind of, I think my heart went to those people. And I think it had a lot to do with what he had me just pray out. So I'm going to finish it, what he was talking to me about. I speak to their hearts that they are tender to the Holy Spirit, that they have the boldness to say no to any darkness. When they hear the truth, that they desire to live in that truth, God's truth, that their need for the life of God to work in them is so more important than holding on to the things of darkness that produce death in their life. They desire their new nature to dominate their mind and their body, their flesh. That they are not, again, Proverbs 29:1, that when reproved, that they don't stiffen their neck, that they will not be broken beyond healing, that they will receive God's wisdom for their lives, that they stop holding on to their past. They have the courage to stop doing destruction to their lives, that calamity isn't a part of their life. It's that they desire, that their desires are love, are joy, are peace, are long suffering. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control, temperance. They operate from the law of love, that they know that they are more than a conqueror, that the expectation of only good and perfect things happen to them, that they know that struggles only come when they make Jesus an afterthought, when it comes to, you know, making him an afterthought when it comes to their decisions or their actions or anything to do with their everyday lives, that they know and understand that God's word is so important, and that they desire to know him through his word, that their relationship with the Heavenly Father is one of communication both ways, that they become intimate with his word, and when direction comes for their lives, that they obey. That they can't get offended, that their hearts are tender toward people. They have the desire to help others, that when they became a Christian, that it wasn't just for them. They desire to bring Jesus to the people around them, and that they desire to lay hands on the sick with boldness, to speak truth to others with confidence, and have no fear. So I want you to know this is what we pray over you guys, and this is just one what God had me do for everyone yesterday. But anyway, let me leave you with two scriptures. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and in all the things in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. Things in the physical realm only come forth with what you have and you know in your heart. And Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and so walk as children of light.
Amen. Isn't it awesome to have a team that's praying for you these things? You know, 3 John 2 again says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And he did this by declaring and demonstrating the kingdom of God. We've been talking primarily this year about the kingdom and what it means to live in the kingdom and what that looks like. But let me kind of back up for just a moment, kind of give you this foundation again. For you that are new here, welcome to Life of Faith. We're excited that you chose to worship with us this morning and to be a part. And I just believe that you're going to be blessed this morning. Amen. But Jesus came to declare and to demonstrate and to establish his kingdom. From the very beginning, when John the Baptist came on the scene, you have to realize there hasn't been a prophet, there hadn't been a voice of God in the earth for 400 years. And then John the Baptist showed up, and all of Israel, they were waiting for the promise of the king. They were waiting for the seed that would come from David. They were waiting for, they were in this last empire that had been prophesied in Daniel, the Roman Empire. So they were looking for a king to come. And John the Baptist shows up and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everything that you've been believing for, everything you've been waiting for, it is now coming. It is now about to be established. Glory to God. And so people just came by the droves to be baptized and to repent and said, I'm ready for this kingdom. And then Jesus shows up and he starts talking the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Glory to God. And so he starts talking about the kingdom, and most of his teaching and his doctrine was concerning this new kingdom. But here's the secret. He was the king of the kingdom. And so he demonstrated the kingdom. He went about, the Bible says, proclaiming and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that kingdom, and then it says he went about healing all that were oppressed, and he healed every disease, and he cast out devils. And he told the Pharisees, the religious leaders of their day, he said, look, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, that is proof that the kingdom of God is come unto you. In other words, no devil, no demonic spirit, no sickness, nothing that represents the fall of man, the curse of man, can stand in the presence of the king. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new rule in town. And I'm going to drive them out of humanity, because humanity is God's creation. Humans are who God has loved. He created us not to be defeated, but to be more than conquerors, and to live and to reign as kings in life. Romans 5:17, you know this is one of my favorite scriptures. They that receive abundance of grace. How much grace? How much of what God has freely given to us are you willing to receive into your life? Do you want God to just barely meet your needs? Do you want God just to barely take care of everything that you need in life? And then don't ask him for anything else and don't experience anything else? Or are you willing to receive an abundance? An abundance. Jeff Thomas, are you willing to receive the abundance of grace?
Yes.
Just need to let Jeff just run for a little bit. I think he's ready. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The Bible says that they that will receive this, nothing that you can earn, nothing that you can do to get God to do something for you, but you receive what God has freely given to you. It goes on to say, let's pull that up. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Let's see it on screen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I get so excited talking about these things that I never get into the main part of my message. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, and that's talking about death came through Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign. Somebody say reign. They shall rule. They shall be victorious. They shall dominate. They shall reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and defeated sin, sickness, disease. He defeated the devil so that the devil could not reign in our life, so that death wouldn't rule in our life, so that we would experience the life that God has for us. And that we would live it and have it more abundantly. And that's for a life right now here on the earth. It's not that we are to rule and to reign when we get to heaven. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to pastors of seven different churches, at the end of each one of those letters to the churches, he said, "He that overcomes will I." And he's talking about he that's living a life of the overcomer will experience this reward when he gets to heaven. Praise God. We are to live the life of an overcoming believer right now. We are to allow what Jesus did here on the earth to live and to reign through us, so sickness doesn't operate in our lives anymore. I mean, we can live a life that is experiencing his quickening, life-giving power. That's what Romans chapter 8 says, that the same spirit that raised that dead body, raised Jesus from the dead, if he lives in you, he will quicken, give life to your mortal bodies. Glory to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something here. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 29. I mentioned this last week, but it bears worth repeating. God's just been giving me so much revelation out of this. For whom he did foreknow, talking about he knew you. If you look at Ephesians 1, he knew you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He is talking about you. For whom he already knew before you ever existed, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He gave you a destiny. Say, he gave me a destiny. He gave you a destiny, and here's your destiny: to be conformed to the image of his Son. Your destiny in Christ is to be conformed to Christ's image, to whatever Jesus looks like, whatever you think he did here on the earth, whatever you see in the Gospels as you read his life, whatever you see about him, that's our destiny, to be like that. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in the world. So how is he? Is he sick? No, he's not. So we're not supposed to have to live under sickness control. Praise God. Well, when we get to heaven, we're going to... No, heaven came to us. Heaven lives in us. Jesus lives in us. His life lives in us. We're to be conformed to the image of his Son. And all I need to do is just receive that, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at the next verse. Moreover, those that he predestinated, or those that he gave this destiny to, them he also called. He created a destiny for you, and then he started calling you into his destiny. Susan Alexander, come into your destiny that I have for you, to be like Jesus. Stephen, come into your destiny. Noah, come into your destiny that I've called you to come into. I've already made it for you. Glory to God. And he's calling, but not only did he call you into his destiny, and not only is he saying, come and be like me, but then it says, those that he called, those he also justified. What does that mean? It means that I'm not having to try to figure out how to obtain that destiny and how to work for that destiny, that he made me able to experience the destiny. That Colossians 1 says, now thanks be unto God who made us meet, fit, able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's moved me from the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, into a whole new kingdom. I live in a different kingdom. I operate according to different laws. I operate according to a different mindset. I operate according to different rules. Praise God. I operate according to the will of the King. Glory to God. That's the way I live my life. I'm not concerned about what's happening in our government. I'm not concerned about what's happening around the world. I can pray for our government. I can pray for our president. I can pray for our elected leaders. I can pray for all of that and thank God that we live in peace and that he is working in our nation. But ultimately, I am the citizen of a different nation, of a different kingdom with a different ruler. And his name is Jesus. And he is Lord of lords. And he is King of kings. Glory to God. I am one of those kings. The Bible says he is made us kings and priests unto our God. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We've got to live. Listen, child of God, we've got to live out of the identity, out of who God created us to be. Live the life that he has. Demonstrate the kingdom here. He even took Jesus here on the earth, took the disciples, and he said, look, I want you to go into all the towns here in Israel, and as you go, I want you to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And he said, now demonstrate the kingdom, heal the sick, cast out devils. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that they that believe, that these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. That we are to go about demonstrating him, letting Christ live through us. We are the body of Christ. He is the head of the body, and we are to be his hands, his feet, his voice, his healing here in the earth. Praise God. We are called to a way higher purpose than just barely living and just hoping that one day we get to heaven. No, we are to demonstrate heaven here on the earth. Jesus came to establish an everlasting kingdom. Those whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. This is where, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to really dig into some things, because what we began to learn last week, Jesus didn't just come to save us. And when I mean to save us, I'm talking about just to save us from sin, to save us from our addiction, to save us from... Thank God for all of that. He did come for that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And that everlasting life starts when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Praise God. And he came to deliver us from all of that, but he also came to live his life through us. He came to deliver us from sin, from the devil's control, from sin's dominion, so that we could live and experience his life, so that we could live in union with the Father. In John chapter 17, he was praying to the Father, the last prayer before he went to the cross, and said, Father, I pray that they would know that you love them with the same love you have toward me. Father, I pray that they would be one with us the way that you and I are one together. Jesus came not just to save us, but to bring us into union with him so that we could experience his life, so that we could experience his joy, so that we could experience his peace, and so that his character and so that his nature would be manifest in us. I'm a grace guy. You know I'm a grace guy. I love... Jesus was full of grace and truth, and he came that he might freely give us all things. Praise God. And it says, out of his fullness have we all received. But a lot of grace teaching that I hear today is more centered on the forgiveness of sin and more on righteousness in him. And so that God's good with me. that vertically, and this is all true, that Jesus took our judgment. Jesus took our sin. Jesus took that old nature. The Bible says that our old nature was crucified with him, buried with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed. Thank God for that. Thank God that all of my sin, past, present, and future, was taken care of on the cross 2,000 years ago. And so that Jesus took all of that, and the Bible says by one sacrifice he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. And so I can live in a knowledge and an understanding that Jesus has absolutely removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. And God said, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God for that. That lets me live the life that Romans 8 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I can live a life where I am not condemned, where I am not feeling judged. I am living his life because he's made me his righteousness. But let's not stop there. Let's not say now I'm just going to live life the way that I want to, and I'm just going to do what I want to, because God's good with me. No, he didn't come just to forgive you of your sin so that judgment's been taken out of the way. That's not the power of grace. That is not what Jesus came to do. He came to remove all of that so that we can experience his life, so that we can manifest his character, so that we can let him live his life through us, so that we can now be part of the body, part of the kingdom. And that means something. Last week we looked at where he talked about being merciful to those that hurt you, being loving your enemies, praying for those that despitefully use you. That as Jesus was walking here on the earth, he was proclaiming what living in the kingdom, what it looks like. And so he said that you may be children of your Father. In other words, children of God manifest the love of God. They manifest forgiveness of God. Wendy, what are you doing back there? You're supposed to be on the second row. I know you got to leave here in just a little bit. She's my amen person right there on the second row. And I'm like, I'm missing it. Amen. Somebody, come on. Give me, I need something here, guys. Wendy has stepped out of her position. We are here. We receive forgiveness. We receive God's grace, but then we manifest. We live out the character, the nature of God. What does that really look like in our lives? It's one thing to talk about all things have been given to us. It's one thing to talk about that God wants us to be blessed, healed, prosperous, all of those things. But I really want to see that manifested in my life. I want to experience healing in my body. I want to see my finances do what they're supposed to do. I want to see what living in the kingdom looks like. And so we're going to step into looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's go to that scripture first, and then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If Jesus came to demonstrate, to talk about life in the kingdom, and even Paul talked about he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that while we talk about grace, recognize that grace was given so that we can live in the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom. It says here in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. What were all the things? He was talking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, your daily necessities. That people, that our nation, that the world goes after, we have a very materialistic society, and so, you know, people go to work, try to get the raise so that they can have more stuff and to make sure that they're taken care of and try to get beyond, you know, having their needs supplied, and maybe one day they can get to a retirement age and just enjoy life. Jesus came for you to enjoy life right now. You don't need to wait till you're 65 years old to retire. Hope that Social Security is still there when you get there. Man, that's not the way to live life. How about we experience God's life and his peace and his joy for us right now? Amen. And so this is what he's talking about. Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. This is Luke chapter 12. This is another version of this. And so I want you to see the heart of Jesus. First of all, he says in verse 22, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, neither for the body, what you're going to wear. For the life is more than what you eat." The body is more than what you put on. In other words, we have a lot of people that will that focus on the health of their body and focus on all of that and what they're eating and that kind of thing. And God's saying your spiritual life needs to be your priority. What is your priority? If you were to look at the time during the week, if you were to look at your finances, if you were to look at every area in your life, where are your priorities? Is it on your own selfish desires? Is it on your own thing? Is it on what your family is doing? Is it on how much money you can make? Is it on what you can do with that money? Is it on the new car that you can buy? Is it on the new house that you can get? Is it on all of those things? Is that where your focus is? Or is your first focus on the kingdom of God? You can look at how you live your life, and it'll reflect where your heart is. And this is what Jesus is getting down to, is where is your heart, because it's manifested in how you live your life. It's manifested in your finances. It's manifested if you're going to express the nature and the character of God, you need to seek first the kingdom. And he says, and so he starts talking about the care of the Father for you. Not about what you have to do to get God to care for you. He's trying to get us to a place of trust. Somebody say trust. That we live a life that we're not worried. Guys, we live in a society right now that there's more depression, there's more anxiety, there's more fear, there's more anger, there's more addiction. I mean, we run into it. You wouldn't believe the things that I've had to deal with this week. I started Thursday morning at 8:30 counseling and didn't finish till 12 o'clock in dealing with different people and what they're having to go through and what they need to get free from. I'm telling you, God has an answer for your addiction. God has an answer for your depression. God has an answer for your self-centeredness. God has an answer for you not being able to live a life of joy. He wants you to be free from that, but it starts in the area of trust. Because if you will not come to a place that you trust Him, then you will not experience the grace that's already been freely provided. How do I know that? Romans chapter 5 says that we have access into the grace of God. Now, grace is everything that God has freely given to us by His unconditional love for us. But we only have access into it by what we believe. Well, how do I know what I believe? The Bible says faith without works is dead. How you live your life will be an expression of what you truly believe in your heart. It's just the bottom line. So to access everything that God and the life that God has for you, you got to have trust. And he's talking about trust here. Look at this. He's talking about the care of the Father in our life. He says this in verse 24, "Consider the ravens. Consider the birds." Think about them for a moment. Springtime, you see birds flying around. You hear them chirping. We used to have a bird that was a mockingbird that found a little tree right outside our window. And this thing, as soon as daybreak, at 5 or 6 o'clock, it would start chirping, but it learned to mimic all of the car alarms down the street. And so it'd start going, boop, boop, boop. I cut that tree down. That thing, it was so annoying. It would do all the different ones. And, so springtime, you got all these birds, they're all talking and all of that, but you can watch them. But, you know, I haven't come across a bird yet that was just sitting there like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, talking to his mate. What are we going to do about food tomorrow? I think there's a shortage on worms in the ground. Did you hear who's president? Did you hear what's going on? Do you hear what the government is? You know, I think that we're not going to have enough. No, you've never seen a bird stress out over what it's going to eat, over what it's going to do. It just flies free. It just flies unhindered. It does. I mean, how many times have you looked at a bird and said, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that. I would just love to live life that way. Well, he said, I want you to think about that. Jesus saying, think about this. They don't have storehouses. They don't have bank accounts. They're not trying to store up for themselves. Not that there's anything wrong with saving. We're not saying that, because the Bible talks about wisdom in your finances and what that looks like. But he's saying that that's not where the trust is. Is your trust in your 401k? Is your trust in your retirement? Is your trust in your finances? Is your trust in your job and what your and what that job provides for you? Is that where your trust is? It's not where the birds of the air, not where their trust is. They just live the life that God, they live out of their nature. We should be living out of our new nature, living out of a nature of trusting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He leads us. He guides us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Where he leads, there's provision in all of that. He'll provide the right job for you. He'll provide the right path for you. But my trust has to be completely and totally in him. They don't have storehouses or barns, but God feeds them. And then he wants you to get an idea of how much more, or how much more are you better than the birds? How much more? Of how much more value in God's sight are you? So you're telling me God's going to take care of the birds, but he's not going to take care of you? And we'll be in the middle of a situation, God, where are you? God, don't you know that I'm down here? And just the question itself shows that my trust isn't where it should be, or that I don't believe how good my Father really is, and that I really trust him to lead me and to guide me into the places that his word says. Abraham was called Abram. Did not have children. God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. So shall your seed be. And nations are going to come out of you. And so one day God comes to Abram and says, your name no longer shall be Abram, but it shall be Abraham. And the reason why is I have made you a father of many nations. Abram could have done like a lot of us, and he could have said, I don't have any nations. I don't see it. God, you said you've made me a father of many nations, but that hasn't happened yet. So it would be wrong for me to call myself Abraham, which means father of a multitude. I can't say that because it's not true. In the natural, and with what we see and what we experience with our natural senses, maybe it's not there. But God doesn't operate based on what you see. God doesn't operate in this natural. God is a spirit. Woo! The Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen to me. If you want to worship God, then you need to agree with what he said in the spirit about you. That's true worship to God. God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. What is truth in your life? Not what you're experiencing in your body. Not what you're experiencing in your finances. That doesn't determine what is true about you. What is true about you is what God has said about you. And if you want to worship God, then get your eyes off of your current situation. Get your eyes off of your inability. Get your eyes off of not being able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and start receiving what God has said about you. Be like Abraham and said, if you've made me a father of many nations, even though I don't see it, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to declare it about myself. God, who calls those things that be not as though they were, has invested us with truth that as as we call those things that be not as though they were, we'll start seeing our situations align. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham believed God, was fully persuaded what he had promised he was also going to perform. He didn't consider his body dead. He didn't consider Sarah's body dead. It didn't look like he could have children. It didn't look like the promise was coming to pass. But God said... And some of you need to wake up and start saying, but God said. God said, I'm His son. God said, He's freely given me all things. God said, He would take care of my needs. God said, He is my shepherd. God said, He would make me to lie down in green pastures. God said, He would lead me beside the still waters. God said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God said, I would rule and reign in life through Jesus Christ. God said that I am more than a conqueror. Praise God. Jesus conquered, gave me His victory. God said that I have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. God said that in the kingdom there is fullness of joy and righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so I declare, I believe what God said about my life. Glory to God. That's worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I love our times of worship. I love our worship team. I love what we get to do. And as we declare, it is well, and He's a good, good Father. But we've almost created in our culture, our church culture, an idolatry of worship. Everybody wants to go to the latest worship team, to the latest worship thing, and it's all about how we feel in the moment that we're worshiping Him. And look, there's a place for all of that. Thank God for it. I'm not discounting it. I'm not diminishing it. But to worship Him for 15 minutes or 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, and then to go back out and start just speaking what's going on in your natural life, is not living a life of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Because the Bible says, Jesus said this, He said, sanctify them, Father, through Thy truth. Now, what does that mean? Set them apart. Help them experience your life through your truth. But then He says, your word is truth. And so if I'm going to worship God in spirit and in truth, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the Word to determine what is true about my situation. I'm going to allow what God has said, and I'm going to worship Him this way. Father, I thank You that You've already made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, I thank You. I'm going to speak Your Word about my situation. My body may be hurting right now. I may be experiencing things that don't feel right. But I declare about my body that it is healed by the stripes of Jesus. I choose to trust You and believe what Your Word says, and I worship You in that. I thank You for that. Now what You've done is You've moved away from just feeling ooshy-gooshy and feeling all emotional. God, You love me so much. And You moved over into a place of really declaring the truth and worshiping Him the way that He wants to be worshiped. Let your life be a life of worship. Not just a moment in a service because the worship team's doing a great job. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm... That's my dad. Praise God. Glory to God. So He's talking about His care for us. God's that good. Which of you, verse 25, which of you, taking thought, can add to His stature one cubit? And He's talking about worry, anxiety. So, I mean, we could spend the next 30 minutes. I want you to really think about, really believe that within the next 30 minutes, you're going to be able to add an inch to your height. Will it work? No. So He's saying, if you're then not able to do that thing which is the least, if your worry, what He's just saying is what's going on in your brain, all the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety isn't producing one thing that's helpful to you. It's not changing your circumstance. It's not changing the situation. You worrying about whether you're going to have a job next week. You worrying about whether you're going to get hay fever next week. You worrying about what's going on in our nation next week. You worrying about that and being stressed out over it. You haven't affected it not one bit, but you have affected you. Many people are sick because of the stress and the care and the worry that they're under. Many people can't enjoy life because they're too worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And Jesus saying, listen, it doesn't make sense. Your worry isn't changing your life. Then he goes on to say here, if God, he says in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. In other words, they're not making their own clothes. They're not. He says, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory, Solomon, the richest man that this world has ever known, Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. And then if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more? How much more? How much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith, oh, you that don't trust him well? I found this video that I want to show real quick that just illustrates the magnificence of God as it has to do with this one scripture. So can we run that? It's just a two-minute video. And just consider what you see here for just a moment, and then I'm going to pick up on it. Think about a creator that would be so intentional about the details of all of those flowers. The beauty of creation. And they don't live long. Some of them live just a day or two. And for a moment, that's all they're there for, and then they get thrown in Jesus' time into an oven for kindling and to help heat things up. Something that is so insignificant, something that is just used for kindling, that God would be so interested that they would be that beautiful for just a moment. How much more will he clothe you for whom this creation was created for? How much more will he take care of you? You know, and what I notice in that video is I didn't see any one of those flowers sitting there and going, I need a bloom. I need a bloom. What do I do to bloom? I didn't see them working at changing. I didn't see them working at trying to become this beautiful butterfly, not butterfly, a beautiful flower. Thinking of that old movie, A Bug's Life. I'm a beautiful butterfly. A beautiful flower. I don't see them trying to just pop and trying to become that. And then all of a sudden, after they've worked real hard, boom, there they are. No, what I saw them is the gracefulness, the elegance in them just being who their creator created them to be. I saw them resting in the nature and expressing the nature of who that of what they are and who they are. And so here I would just say that Jesus is saying, look, rest in who God created you to be. And that is your son, your daughter, and that God is very much interested in your life. It says, if God, verse 28, so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So don't seek what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. This gets back to our trust issue. I'm going to trust God. God will lead you. God will guide you. God will provide for you. But rather, he says, seek ye the kingdom of God. Why? In the kingdom of God is every resource that you need. In the kingdom of God is your destiny. In the kingdom of God is your life. In the kingdom of God is every provision. In the kingdom of God is your healing. In the kingdom of God is the authority of Jesus Christ to cause that which doesn't line up with him to be removed from your life. It says in verse 30, all these things the nations seek after, but your Father knows that you have need of these things. He knows what you need. He's already made provision for you. And that's why it says, seek the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you. You get into the place where the provision is, then you'll experience that provision in your life. He says in verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. Look at that. It is your Father's good pleasure. It is your Father. It's not just your Father's pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure. Somebody say good pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. To give to you everything that you need in life. To give to you the kingdom of God. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, next week, we're going to dig into to what does this look like? What is seeking first the kingdom? What does it really look like? There's actually a phrase here in verse 22 as he begins this teaching, and he says, take no thought. Actually, he starts out by saying, therefore I say unto you. Something that he had said earlier is what caused him to move into this teaching. We're going to begin looking at this next week. But I want you to see that in verse, let's see here. This was awesome. If you'll look in verse 6, it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. God hasn't forgotten a single bird. He says in verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, maybe not mine, but maybe. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Do you know what he's saying there? You know, I've always heard that every hair of your head, that he knows what the count is. You know, you have 1,000 hairs on your head, so he knows what that number is. It says here that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That means you got a hair number 1, a hair number 2, a hair 3, 4, 5, that they have a number that's attached to it, that God knows you so well that he knows what number that hair is on your head. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That he knows me that well, that he's that concerned with my life, that he's that concerned. Praise God. And so, this morning, as we start kind of stepping into this, if you would, just stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to your name. Stephen, if you'll come up and play, please. Father, we just give you praise. Thank you, Father. Some of us that are here probably been dealing with anxiety. Hannah talked about some of the transition that's going on in her life right now, you know, and a lot of times when you step into new things and new places, there can be a certain fear, there can be a certain question about some things, and the Father wants you to first of all get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes off your ability. The Bible says he's given us the Holy Spirit to show us, to declare unto us, to reveal unto us everything that has been freely given to us by God. And so maybe you can look at areas in your life and you say, you know what, I really haven't trusted God fully. I really haven't been worshiping him in spirit and in truth. I haven't been declaring about my life the things that God says, and I haven't really believed about my life the care of the Father. And so you have an opportunity right now to just let that go. Cast your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. And to really trust him fully and begin to declare and worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, just as I pray, if you feel comfortable, lift your hands. Make a decision this morning that today starts that day that in every area of my life, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going after Him. He that comes to God, the Bible says, must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that regardless of what your past is, regardless of the decisions that you've made, that He's forgiven all of that, He's wiped it clean, He's removed it. And that if you'll just receive that today and just move forward and say, I'm going to seek first this week the kingdom of God. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to commune with the Father. I'm going to declare over my life what the Word of God says, because that's what's true. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for every person here that's got their hands lifted, that as our hearts are yielded to You, Lord, we rest in Your provision. Lord, we rest in Your goodness. Lord, we rest in Your grace. And Father, You are such a good, good Father that we can absolutely 100% trust You. Absolutely 100% have faith in Your love for us and Your care for us and Your provision. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say that. Thank You, Father. What I just heard from the Holy Spirit is that many times His care and His direction for your life is coming from the Holy Spirit, who is leading you and who is guiding you into all truth, but giving you instruction and giving you and saying, come with Me. I've got a new path for you. I've got a new destiny for you, but listen to Me. And in that place, it's just like with Elijah, as there was a famine in the land, that God said to Elijah, go down to this particular brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And so because of His obedience, so provision was already made. Let me say it again. Provision was already made. It was there. It was waiting for Elijah to show up to that place. And so by obeying what the Spirit of God said, Elijah showed up to the place that God had already provided provision. So maybe in your life, the Lord has said, you need to do this. You need to demonstrate and you need to allow your faith and your trust in Me to be expressed in the area of your finances, be expressed in the area of your priorities at home, be expressed in the areas of your family. And you've got to make some decisions, because God's asking you and telling you these things because that's where your provision is. That's where the blessing is. That's where the kingdom is operating in your life. And so you've got to listen to those things. God's maybe asking you, be a part of a local body, be a part of church. Don't let church just be something that you do every now and then, but you need to be part of a community of believers. That's what the New Testament was about, that we would come together and that the body fitly joined together would grow itself up into love. And so God is saying, yield to what My Spirit is saying this morning. Make those adjustments in your life, because in that place is where your provision is. In that place is where the kingdom is. Stay hooked up with Me. Listen to My voice. Listen to My Spirit, so I may show you freely everything that I've provided. Show to you freely everything that I've given you. Glory to God. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, led people, and the Spirit of God leads us into those places. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we make those adjustments in our life. We yield to what You're saying. There's areas maybe that we haven't been yielding. There's areas in our life that we've wanted to go our own way, that we've wanted to do our own thing, and that we've, yes, received forgiveness and we received Your grace, but we haven't experienced Your best because we haven't allowed our life to be yielded to You, to follow You. But we make those adjustments right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is just working in the lives of people right now. Let them just talk to you for a moment about those things. you're here this morning and maybe you're not sure that you're born again, you're not sure that you're saved, that you can experience this life, it's real easy. The Bible says, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised Him from the dead. Believe that you died with Him, that you were raised with Him. You're made the righteousness of God in Christ. You just receive forgiveness. Say, Father, thank You for forgiving me. Father, I turn my heart towards You. I believe in Jesus. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You died for me. You died as me. But then that I was raised with You to newness of life. And I receive that new life right now. And friend, if you said that, you are a child of God. You are one of the family. You are part of the kingdom. And you can experience this life that I've been talking about this morning. Amen. Father, we thank You.